And I thank the Lord for where He has us as we are going through the Bible. And I was looking for a study to teach on just mothers, and the Lord kept bringing me back to this area of Lot's wife. And so I had a great conversation with the Lord, but God, I would like to teach something very encouraging. Not a woman turning into a pillar of salt. That's not a great Mother's Day message. And the Lord ministered to my heart, Stephen, if you love the women at South Bay, then you're going to warn them that they keep their life focused on you, on Jesus Christ. And the greatest gift that you can give to the women is that they would always fall in love with me, and they would never turn back to see what was in the world. And so when I understood that, I thought, you know, I'd like to teach this. And so begin to get into it, and the Lord really has given me some just wonderful things to share with you this morning. But in Luke in chapter 17, we go on to read in verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said unto the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So he's declaring to the Pharisees, you're not going to have any more signs. Neither shall they say, lo here, O lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the day will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. So in the very last days, there's going to be people saying, go out to the desert, come over here, we have the Messiah. For as the lightning, verse 24, lighteth out one part under the heaven, shineth unto the part under the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Now in verse 24, he's speaking of the second coming of Christ. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. That would be the crucifixion. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now this is what was taking place. They did eat, and they were drinking, and they were married in wives. They were given in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them. The word given in marriage means that they were living together without any marriage rights. They were living in fornication with no conviction whatsoever. So they did eat, they drank, they were married. They were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the day of Lot, they did eat, and they were drinking, and they bought, and they sowed, and they planted, and they built. So they were drinking, they were having dinner, they were building homes, they were selling homes, they were planting crops, they were doing things. But the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, suffer in his house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. The reason why, you're not going to have much time, speaking of the second coming. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men, now we're at the rapture, one in bed, one will be taken, shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two men shall be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, whosoever the body is, there will the eagle or the vulture be gathered together. There are two important areas in eschatology that you need to kind of keep in mind. There is the first coming and there is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the first coming would be where he came into the earth, and there he was born into that womb. He was born to die, and he would need to be cut off by the nation of Israel. Then we read that there will come a time in a moment in the twinkling of an eye that he will take the church. And the Bible tells us he that hinders will hinder till he be taken out of the way. The hindering force is really the church of Jesus Christ. And when the Lord finds that last person to accept Christ, then he is going to take the church, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the cloud, and we shall ever be with the Lord, and we will be changed, and we will go into the marriage feast for another 7 years. During that 7 years, we find that the tribulation is going to take place. But at the very end of the tribulation, we know that according to Daniel, that 42 months after the Antichrist moves into the temple, or 1260 days, or 3.5 years, from the day that you see on Channel 7, the Antichrist moves into the temple and begins to call himself God. From that moment, there's only 3.5 years, then you can look up and you can see Jesus Christ coming with 10,000s of his saints. And we will be coming back with the Lord from heaven to execute judgment upon the ungodly. Then he will put his foot upon the Mount of Olives, and he will split it, and he will build his new millennial kingdom. That is all in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. But what fascinates me this morning is that in the preaching of our Lord, two times he mentions women, and he says to them, they are to be a memorial, never to be forgotten, always to be looked upon. And whenever he would use these illustrations, they were always to share about the generation in which he lived. You remember when Mary came in and broke the alabaster box upon our Lord Jesus Christ, that it smelled up the room, and it was Judas who said, she has wasted the money. And Jesus very gently said to them, you guys are into wasting. She is into worshiping. She is one who sees deeper than you see. She is anointing my body. And by the way, as often as the gospel is being preached, she is to be mentioned. And so we mention her today, that in a broken life is where the fragrance really begins to fill a room up. And as you are broken, God will use you to touch other people's lives. But the second lady he uses in the scripture is also one that had a memorial. He said, don't ever forget Lot's wife. And he was speaking to a generation that was eating and drinking and given in marriage. They were buying, they were selling, just like the generation that we have today, and they were to be very careful to remember Lot's wife. And the reason why is because she was almost home, and she turned back. She had been delivered. She had been rescued out of a horrible pit, and God had taken her hand and taken Lot's arm, and he had pulled them both out of that horrible situation where their heart and their soul were both vexed. He had been faithful to separate them and to bring them out before the judgment of God was coming. And as God was moving these two people, and actually four of them, we know that the sons never responded. The two girls desired to go, and so they took off with mom and dad, and the angel grabbed both of their wrists and pulled them out of Sodom and Gomorrah because the fire was at the door ready to come down. And after the angel let go, it says, then she turned around and she lingered and she looked. Now the word look in the strongest Greek means to covet. It means to gaze upon. It means that her heart was still there in Sodom. And so I come to you ladies and simply want to tell you that Satan is after you. And Satan wants you to know that he desires to get you sidetracked and to use your emotions and to cause you much pain, that you would walk away from the very things that you know God would have you to do. And I say it with all authority because I believe that when women finally give up, it is a sign that the moral fabric of our nation is beginning to unwind. I believe that one of the great reasons why we are losing children today is because moms have given up. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have. I'm just saying that the truth is there. That a mom has the ability to take a family and make it great. Though there is pressure within men to rise up and to become leaders, there's nothing like a mother or like a woman that can turn the tide of corruption into righteousness. If you women desire to get the R-rated movies out of your home, you can do it simply by telling your husbands, "I don't want that in this home." Well, they will fight with you and they will balk with you, but they will do it. There's something that God has given to you women that is extremely strong. And yet today, one of the saddest things I'm seeing as a pastor is that women who were once spiritual are now beginning to be extremely carnal. And when you find a woman who has lost hope, a woman who has been hurt, a woman that is losing hope with her God, then their whole life begins to unravel. Life doesn't make sense any longer. And you need to remember that Lot and his wife were very, very blessed people. We pick up the story, you remember, in Genesis where God spoke to Abram to begin to take a walk and a journey and to leave Ur of Chaldean and to take a walk of faith and to see where they would end up. And Abraham had no problem doing what God called him to do, and there were many that tagged along, and one of those who tagged along with him was his nephew. His name was Lot. So Lot's uncle would be Abraham. And the first thing I realize is that they saw the hand of God upon Abraham. These two young kids, Lot and his wife, they were hanging out with Abraham and Sarah. It'd be like me and Gail hanging out with Chuck and Kay. And in the 30 years that I have been with Chuck and Kay, we have witnessed supernatural things far beyond what I could even tell you. And sometimes you begin to believe it's you, and it's really not the overflow. And the great problem today is our children are living in the overflow, but they have no concept of the reality of the God in whom we serve. So somewhere along the line, in her life, faith didn't register. A commitment to God didn't really happen. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if the house was something important to her. I think any woman would say, "Out of the tents and give me a home." I think any woman in their right mind would say, "Honey, I think we've lived with the goats long enough. How about just a nice running water in our home and we can look at the goats out in the field?" But when you were with Abraham, you would sleep in a tent. And you would like be Bedouins and you would be with the animals and you would feed the animals and you would maintain the animals and you would be in a faith of walk and you would see the hand of God and you would see the move of God and you would see how even Abraham made mistakes. He went down to Egypt. And so they were able, Lot and his wife, to see the mistake Abraham made and how it almost cost him. And they were able to witness how Abraham lied and how it almost cost him his wife. They also saw how he came back to where God wanted him and how God blessed him. And they were able to be witnesses there concerning his love for his son Isaac and willing to sacrifice his only son. So here were a very young couple who had the foundation of their uncle being Abraham, the greatest of all men on the earth. They had witnessed the power of God throughout his life. They had been blessed to the point, unbelievably, of everything they have is because of his overflow. And they failed to realize, because Abraham was a friend of God, and because Abraham was in fellowship with God, that God was blessing Abraham, and everything they had was the outpour of their right relationship and close connection to a man named Abraham. And so they begin to look at what they had. And they wanted to be on their own. And they wanted no authority whatsoever. And so they begin to ponder, maybe in Egypt. They begin to ponder, maybe the valleys. They begin to ponder, maybe Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the tension began to rise, and we find Abraham came to Lot and said, "These are too many. What should we do?" And Abraham said, "I will go over to these plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I will take my family and I will lodge there." But it was a very selfish move. You see, Lot knew that it was a wicked city, but he was willing to do anything to be free. His wife, no doubt, wanted to be separate, and anything looked better than a tent. And so the Bible declares that they pitched their tent towards Sodom. What that means is that they picked up their tent and they turned it away from the glory of God, and they turned their tent to the things of the world. Now that is always the first thing that goes wrong within each of our hearts. We've turned our back on God and we've turned our life towards things. And a man's life, it will be buying as many toys as he can. For a woman, it will be turning their back on God and going shopping as much as they can. Because you need to fill the void. You need to fill the emptiness. You need to have a friend. And every woman here longs for a friend. Longs to be able to talk to someone, to share the life with someone. That's why you got married, and the marriage isn't working because you never talk. There's not a friendship. There's a bickering, the fighting, the arguing, and it's tiring, and you can wear a woman out. And when a woman comes to the breaking point, sometimes they never recover. And so the Bible tells you as men that we are to be kind and gentle, and we are to present them without spot and blemish before the Lord. We are to dwell with them according to knowledge. We're not to treat them as employees. We're to treat them as ladies elect and lovers of God, and encourage them to be keepers of their home and keepers of their children, and to love the Lord with all their heart. And I'm here to tell you that the greatest day in a man's life is when he finds his wife is all spiritual. When I come home and find my wife in the Word every single day, when I come home and she shares with me over the dinner table what the Lord has given to her for me, when I watch her for the last 31 years journaling every single day, when I see her laboring on Tuesday and Tuesday night, struggling with God, seeking to get the answers of God, my heart is thrilled because she's not doing anything but hanging out with the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing, and God has blessed her. But I'm also here to tell you that the saddest day in a man's life is when he realizes his wife has gone not towards worship, but has gone towards the world. No longer Christianity, but now carnality. No longer an openness to the Spirit of God, but a hardness to the things of God. And there was a time in Gail's life that I thought I was going to lose her. She got hurt in a church, and I couldn't get her back, and she didn't go to church for over a year. And I didn't know what to do, but I just kept coming after her, and I wouldn't let up, and finally God was able one day on the beach to break through and just to convince her that this was the call of God upon our life, but she was hurt. And women do get hurt. No matter how hard they think they are, they have feelings, they get hurt. Well, Lot's wife fell in love with Sodom. It says that they turned their tent towards Sodom. No longer looking at the presence of God, now looking at the things that would possess their lives. And I want to tell you that any time you're going after possessions, you've left the presence of God. Because it's the presence of God that should bring the possessions that you desire in your heart. Promotion cometh not from the east, but from the Lord. And then it says that they dwelt there among Sodom. Once they turned their tent, they were now just moving down a little bit closer. When Sodom was attacked, we read in our Bible that Lot was taken, and when Abraham found out, Abraham went with 300 men, and they rescued those men and brought them back and brought Lot back, and there Lot saw Abraham give to Melchizedek, and yet there was never any reference of thankfulness at all between the nephew and the uncle. Finally, we read that he is now sitting in the gates. He has now become a judge, and many believe the Greek is a word that means to be, or actually the Hebrew means a mayor. He became the mayor of the city. And though his heart was vexed, it never mentions his wife's heart was vexed. And though he struggled, it never mentions that she struggled. But there came a day when God was going to destroy it. And God came to both these two and said, I'm going to want you out of here. And they wouldn't go. He said to Lot, tell your children to come. And so he told his children, the boys were too far gone. The daughters finally listened and they came. And finally at the last moment, they lingered. The Bible says they lingered, and the angel of the Lord grabbed them and said, what's wrong with you? They just lingered. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, what's wrong with looking? Everything. Eve looked. And when she looked, she coveted. And when she looked, she desired. And when she looked, she took. It says that David looked. He looked out his window one day and saw a naked woman. And he started the process, what to do. And the process took him into adultery. And first he looked, and then he hung up his armor. And then he had a naked woman in bed, and then he committed adultery. Then he lied to the prophet of God. Then he murdered Uriah. Then he deceived God. And God said, enough is enough. We find throughout the Bible that Achan looked. He couldn't wait on God's timing, had to have it now, and he took. And because he took, there was sin within the camp. And so in a simple look, Eve lost paradise, and Lot's wife was forever destroyed. And there, their children saw their mother frozen in a backward look. You see, it's my heart that none of you women would ever be frozen in a backward look. Where you're being driven to go back. Driven to go back to the old way. Driven to go back to what you know you can do. You need to be going forward. If she could have made it just a couple more steps, would she have been saved? Here was a woman on her way to heaven that ended up in hell. And you begin to realize if Judas could have just turned just a few more days, it would have been the resurrection, and maybe then something could have happened, but he couldn't. And Jesus simply said to his disciples, remember Lot's wife, that she loved the world more than she ever loved me. She had a heart, but it would never be allowed to be turned. We're not talking about a woman who had been hurt. We're talking about a woman who had been blessed, extremely wealthy, extremely blessed. We're talking about a heritage there of Abraham and Sarah and the example that they set, and but she didn't want it. She saw the things of how God provided, but she didn't want it. She was glad when the tent turned. She was glad when the tent got closer to Sodom. She was glad when she finally got her own house in Sodom. She was glad that things are going so well. She was not glad that they were leaving their home, and so they lingered. And here God pulls them both. And inside her heart, she just wanted to go back to what she knew the best. And that is the breaking to me of the story. I pray that you, as mothers and women, would come to a place in your life that you would not depend upon any man except Jesus Christ. You say, well, now wait a second. I'm her husband. I know. I've chosen my words very carefully. Jump over the bum and go to God. If He's unwilling to pray with you, if He's unwilling to read with you, if He's unwilling to listen to your heart and listen to the hurt in your life, if you don't go to God, you're going to run to the world and find friends, and those friends are going to be set up by Satan to destroy you. There's no place for you to go but up. And so it's important that you don't give up now. But Stephen, the family, don't give up. But my husband, don't give up. But I can't believe what's going on. Don't give up. Time is short. What do I do? Do what Gail does so well. I was playing racquetball about 10 years ago with a bunch of heathens. And I used to play before I met Rob or anybody, and I was pretty good. I was really good playing racquetball. One of my board members wanted to play racquetball, and so I said, sure. And so we went on the court. He said, let's pray. I said, pray? I said, no, let's play. Pastor Steve, you don't want to pray? No, let's play. And so I beat him 21-1. Well, that's brutal. You're right. But something happens to me when I get on a racquetball court. I'm so competitive, you would never know that probably, but I will cheat. And I've been known to cheat. If I'm playing Don McClure, who's really, really good, usually the second shot I go for his legs. Whack! He looks back. You got in my way, Don, what can I say? And so he's thinking about that. That's the edge I want. Well, it got to a point where I was playing every night. And I remember one night I was playing and I had my racket and I was playing the best I've ever played in my life. And I remember serving this serve and it was like screaming down the side about 3 inches off the wall and it missed the line and it was no good. And I went, oh, I hit my racket and I was so mad, so angry. And so I got the ball back and I went to serve it again and I hit it as hard as I could and the ball just bounced. And I go, what happened? And I looked up, my racket was broken 6 places. And the guys looked up and said, what happened to your racket? I don't know. And one of the guys said, well, I saw you in anger hitting the racket on the ground. And I said, well, I gotta go. And I walked in the house. I walked in my wife's bedroom. I said, you've been praying for me, haven't you? She goes, yeah. I said, what did you pray for? That God would deal with you on the court? Is this what you want? And she goes, yes. Your priorities are all messed up. Well, I thank God for that woman who has enough heart towards Christ to keep her husband focused. God is your strength. God is your refuge. God has called you to a life with Him. God wants to govern your life. God wants to be part of your life. When your children are gone, He wants you to pray. When your husbands are coming home, He wants you to pray. When you're not married, He wants you to pray. But you're not a woman of the world. And you ought not never to be unequally yoked. And you have no business being at happy hour. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to be willing to go the distance with Jesus Christ. Time is running out. You need to learn to start charging towards the Lord and not charging in the mall. Don't buy to fill an emptiness. Buy that you might provide for the things you need to provide. But have God fill the heart and the soul and the mind. When that happens, your husband will be hooked. Father, I pray that you would take these special ladies and that, Lord, you would show them the calling of God upon their life. That they are to be spiritually minded, looking, honoring, exalting Jesus Christ. And Lord, you said here in the passage to remember Lot's wife. Lord, what are we to remember? She turned back. And I wonder if some of us are turning back already. The church is no longer important. We don't pray for the kids like we used to. Why pray for a husband that never comes home? Well, God, we've already turned our tent towards the things of this world. Lord, we're beginning to look. Lord, we're beginning to desire. We're beginning to covet. And Lord, we will figure a way to get it. Lord, when we lose heart with you, we have to love something. And when the something is never home, then we have to throw our lives into some things. I pray the Holy Spirit would get a hold of our hearts, that you would take these special ladies and you would show them that God, before you and you alone they stand, that you would be their strength, that you would be their refuge. They stood with you at the cross and they stood with you at the tomb. Lord, they need to stand to the very last trumpet. I pray that you would put their families together, that you would get those married who desire to be married, that you would work out the problem with their children and give them great insight, and that, God, that they would be women who ponder and women who pray and women who love your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?